read a few verses this morning from the book of Job. 12th chapter of the book of Job. The 9th verse of the 12th chapter of the book of Job says, "Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind?" Then the 13th chapter of the book of Job. Job says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation, for the hypocrite shall not come before him."
Thank you, Brother. Turning back to the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation, picking up where we left off, John, having seen the very embodiment described as a beast with two horns, false religion. This is the way that the flesh perceives religion. God, this is the way the flesh perceives it. Dual action between God and man. They got to see something. Miracles and signs and wonders. Got to have something. Got to have some show on the outside. Whether it's a collar turned backwards or a fancy robe or a cross or something. Got to show something. And verse 14 says of this beast that doeth great wonders, maketh light, fire, come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and actually is accomplishing. Why? Because God sent them strong delusion. God has given men exactly what they want. Give them exactly. You ask the false religionist, "You believe those miracles are actually from God?" Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Completely disregarding Scripture. "You believe that Almighty God is accomplishing these things?" Yes. Does Scripture ever bear out that there were sorcerers and magicians actually doing something in Egypt? Yes. Yes. What were they doing? Doing exactly what God purposed that they do. Strong delusion. Scripture says in verse 14, "And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live." Now, what is the effect of this second beast? What is the effect of false religion? Let me just get it down where we'll understand what I'm talking about. Just get it out of your mind that there's going to be a dragon walking down the road. Get it out of your mind that there's going to be a dragon that's got 10 heads. It's going to show up on the earth somewhere. This 10-headed dragon or beast and this two-horned beast is setting forth what the new man, the regenerate, wars against. And Paul the Apostle reveals it to be the flesh. That's what it is. It's the flesh. And what the flesh loves and what the flesh worships and what the flesh desires, flesh. That which is flesh is flesh. The effect of the second beast, false religion, is deception. That's what it is. It's and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. This flesh set forth as a two-horned beast and this ten-headed beast is the means by which Satan deceives. Deception. This deception is said to be by miracles, which he had the power to do again. Had power to do. Same word. Causeth, accomplisheth, exerciseth, that he had power to do. Same word I said a while ago, made sin. Same word. It accomplished. Job was done. The effect of it was done. That he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Natural man. As I said, he's got to have something to see because man by nature does not have faith. You know, I've quoted it. Turn to 2 Thessalonians 3:2. I've quoted that scripture before, and every time I quote it later on, I think, you know what, I should have them turn to that. Because I've made this statement before, and it's scriptural. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2, when I said this, the world says that everyone has a measure of faith. Everybody's got it, and you have to exercise your faith. And Scripture does not bear that out. 2 Thessalonians 3, 2, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men for all... Now, the word men there is in italics. You just take it out. For all have not faith. Do all men have faith? No. Who has faith? All that Almighty God gives faith. And those that God Almighty gives faith from above, saving faith, true faith from God, they believe. What do they believe? They believe Christ. Faith has one object. True faith has one object, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it believes exactly what God Almighty says concerning Him. Here's what true faith believes. True faith believes that Almighty God, before the foundation of the world, elected a people. That's what true faith believes. False faith believes that all men are objects of God's mercy if they'll exercise their free will. True faith believes Ephesians 1:4. That's what they believe. True faith believes that Christ, from His Word, Neil, said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Who are the sheep? All that God chose before the foundation of the world. That's what true faith believes. True faith believes this. All that my Father giveth me shall come to me. Shall come to me. What if a man doesn't come to Christ? The Father didn't give him to the Son. That's just so. What if a man dies in unbelief? Whose fault is it? His fault. It's his fault. Why? Because he didn't believe. What was it going to take for him to believe? God was going to have to give him life. Death doesn't believe anything concerning God, believes a lie. Faith is a gift of God. It's a gift of God. It's given unto you, Paul says, to believe. Faith. True faith. Well, verse 14 says, He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. Had power to do. Tells them that they ought to build them an image. Build an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword. That word sword there means judicial punishment. Man believes that his God, and men do talk about, they do make mention of the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross under the judgment of God. They make that assumption. But the Christ that they're preaching that's trying to do something is not the Lord Jesus Christ of this book. What He did, He accomplished. He said, it is finished. It is done. Our Lord was actually forsaken by His Father and suffered the judicial punishment of His wrath for His people. Made sin. He did die. And now He lives. He did. But any Savior, little s, Savior, that is set forth, that is trying to do something if you let Him, is not the Lord Jesus Christ. He accomplished this second beast. Actually imitates the truth. It says here that He tells them, make yourself an image to the beast. This is what false religion says. Make yourself an image to your God that has died, made salvation possible. Make you an image. Make an image. Now listen to me. False religion tells men, make an image in your mind, in your imagination. Make you an image. Create one in your mind that has made salvation possible to you. One that you can worship. Now, can I back that statement up? You turn to Romans 1. Turn to Romans 1. And I'm going to show you how men's imagination, that's where you get the word image, something created in my mind. Romans 1:21. Because that when they knew God, now, without me going back over the previous verses, it's talking about the revelation of God in nature. God has revealed Himself in nature. That tree right there reveals the very nature, power, glory of Almighty God. It's in nature. But, so it says, when they knew God, they looked at it, they saw it, but they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. I've had men say this. You have too. Look at a beautiful mountain range. Look at the glorious mountain range. I've had people say this. Had somebody say it to me recently. They said, How could anybody not believe there's a God? Look at that gorgeous, look at the Rocky Mountains. How could you not believe there's a God? They don't. They look at that and they say that. It sounds good. It sounds religious. That doesn't mean anything to them. That's a rock. That means nothing to them. How could someone not look at all these glorious things and not believe there's God? Easy. They just don't believe it. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between their... They changed the truth into a lie. They created something. Now you listen. You're looking at somebody who, in false religion, false free will religion, sat there and heard a man preaching about a God that's trying to do something. And in my mind, Carl, he was there. He was there. I had an image. My imagination was darkened. And that God that I had created in my mind was exactly the way that man was telling me that he was. I believed that. I believed it. And if I died in that unbelief, God would justly deal with me in absolute wrath. If I died in unbelief. I thought just like anybody else thinks. I've got a God created in my mind, and that God did just exactly the way that preacher says. Verse 15, He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. The satanic, and you know that Satan is the author. That's where the power comes. Satan is the power behind. Why? He's a liar, and everything that he says lies is a lie. Now, that's just so. He's a liar. The satanic powered false prophet, the Scripture says, has power, the ability to convince men that the God that they've created in their mind is actually alive. They sing to Him. They pray to Him. They bow to Him. They ask Him for guidance and help. He, to them, is alive. He's real. He's real. The only thing I can liken this to, I told you about Becca, my youngest daughter. My sister did the same thing, Paula. Becca had an imaginary friend. I told you this. She had an imaginary friend. Hannah, you remember the time we was riding down the road and she came and looked, she was actually talking. I was driving and she told me that her friend, Tabadaba, was standing right there. And I asked her later when she grew up, I said, Becca, did you really remember? I mean, did you see? She said, yeah. She said she had created a... Now, don't ask me to explain all this. This is a little bit over my head here. I asked her, I said, what color was her hair? She said, blonde. Of course, Becca's hair was blonde. Or still is. Becca, in her mind, had an imaginary friend. And to her, that friend was real. She talked to her, Sit down, had to have a place for Tabadaba. Tabadaba sat next to her. Man by nature. You say, that's foolish. Well, the Scripture says it's so. Man creates in his mind a God that is based on what he hears someone telling him. Now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, but a lie. The Scripture says that this false prophet, false religion, had power to give life to the image of the beast. He's real. And that the image, the imagination of that beast could actually speak. They talk to him and they pray to this God that's trying to do something, that's trying to save men. And they pray to Him and ask Him to save the lost. As I said before, if you believe that He's done all that He can do, don't pray to Him. Pray to the lost. They're the ones that's going to make the last decision. They're the ones that's got the last word. Bypass the one that's done all He can do. This image, this God, to them, actually speaks. They say they've had a word from the Lord. But the Scripture reveals right here that the God that they believe in their heart, they're hearing, is actually the beast of false religion. Speaking, now here's a word that is going to be very interesting to you. It says, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak. Do you know what that word speak is? Ventriloquist. You ever see a man holding a puppet? His lips are not, he's just kind of doing like this, you know. Well, there you are. We're having a good day today. And then and you're saying, that puppet's speaking. No, he isn't. The power behind the puppet's speaking. His false religion, God loves you. God has a wonderful plan for you. You know, smile. God loves you. He had power to make that image speak. And men say, that's the image. That's God speaking. No, it's not. That's Satan speaking. That is absolutely a lie. It's not the truth. False religion tells men the God that you created in your mind, the image, the imagination, darkened, that's God speaking. The Scripture says no. Let me tell you something. God Almighty never says one thing apart from this word right here. Never deviates from this word. The inspired word of Almighty God is so. If what you believe is contrary to this Scripture, you're wrong. And God Almighty is right. And the God that you've created in your mind that speaks. He had power to give life to the image of the beast. The image of the beast should speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. What does that mean? Well, let me ask you this. The God that I worshiped in my mind before I heard the gospel, this is the way He was set forth. He wants to do all for you if you'll let Him. But if you don't let Him, He'll put you in hell. This beast could speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Man believes that they're worshiping a God of judgment that can kill if he so desires. But he cannot give life unless man gives him permission to do it. Permission. And he causeth, verse 16 and verse 17, all both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Now, we looked back in Revelation 9, verse 3 and 4, that just like the servants of the Lord God Himself received a true seal in their foreheads. That is a seal that was seen and known by God Himself. The Scripture reveals how we have the name of God. God is written. Father. Do you see it? God sees it. God sees that the name of our God might be written in their foreheads. A believer possesses a true mark in his mind, in his forehead, in his mind. These right here have also a mark, the Scripture says, in their right hand or in their foreheads. And they've received it. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, all men, no matter what their classification, all men, left to themselves, receive a mark. That means it's given. Same word in John 10:28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." I give them. Here's a mark. Given. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ gives eternal life, this beast has his mark on all who worship the beast of this free will religion. They have his mark, his image, his stamp, his brand. Two places. That word, when it says to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that word "or" can be translated "and," just as the same word. They've got one in their right hand. The right hand is always a symbol of power, ability. Just the right hand. They've got a symbol, a mark, in their right hand, meaning that the works of their flesh, what they are actually able to accomplish, and in their foreheads, speaking of their mind. This is the way. This is what they do, and this is what they think. How do you know that the mark is there? Whatever they do. As a man thinketh in his heart, that's what he does. That's what he possesses. The believer possesses a mind after Christ. That's what Romans 7, just look at this now. I'll show you. Look at Romans 7:23. How many times have we read it? Look at it again. Romans 7:23. "I see another law in my members, in my being, in my flesh, warring against the law of my mind." You think Paul actually walked around with the words stamped on his forehead? He said there was actually a law, a governing principle in my mind, my new mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin that's in my members. How does any man know that that law of sin is there? What we do. Our natures, and we've got to, act according to those natures. That which is flesh is flesh. That which is flesh does not believe God, does not love God, does not bow to God. But the law of my mind can do nothing but love Him. Because it sinneth not. Because the seed of Almighty God dwells within me. And that no man might or has the ability. That's what the word "might." It doesn't mean that it's a possibility, one or the other. It means ability. No man has the ability to buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name or the character of the beast or the number of his name. Now, the effect, according to this, verse 17, no man possesses the ability. Now, listen well. And I know how, you know, men have set forth that, you know, there's going to come a time when, you know, unless you have that, you know, tattooed on your head or tattooed, you know, it's like a mark where they scan it or something. You can't buy or sell or something. Let me tell you something. It's deeper than that. Because I want you to remember this attitude right here. This revelation of the flesh right here is right here in me. This same attitude's in me, and I'm going to tell you something, it's in you too. This beast is the revelation of my flesh. So let's don't get it off over here. Here's where the battle is right here. What is actually being said? No man has the ability. No man might buy or sell save he that had the mark. Name of the beast or the number of the beast. Buy or sell what? A can of beans? a pork roast? No man has the ability, no man possesses that attitude or mind to be able to buy or sell salvation, except that one that has, here's where my power is right there. Here's where my thinking is right here. This is the way I think. This is me. No man possesses that ability to think that he can buy or sell salvation except those that have the mind of Satan, the hand of Satan, the power of Satan. Let me show you that. That blinded mind, turn to Acts 8. Acts chapter 8. Peter preaching. Acts 8:13. The scripture says concerning Simon Magus. Scripture says Simon himself believed also when he was baptized. I dealt with that a few weeks ago. Did he truly believe? No. No, he didn't. Why? Because it proved later. You say, well, it says he believed. The devils believe. Does all men believe that historically there was a man named Jesus Christ that came into this world? Yeah, they believe that. Do they believe that he went to cross, to the crucifixion? Yeah, they believe that. But do they have a heart for it? I can believe a lot of things and have no heart for it. As I told you, I believe this as a communist. And I understand the concepts. Let's all work together, put all of our money in one pile, and we'll distribute it out as you need it. Of course, I'll probably be the one that decides how much you need it. That's communism. I understand it. I believe that part of it. But I don't have a heart for it. Simon believed when he was baptized. He continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done, where God was confirming these men are of God. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as of yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Now, what is false religion saying? False religion is saying God's offering something, and all you have to do is take it. How do you buy it? Faith. Faith that they say every man has, and the Scripture says they don't. God's selling something, and you can buy it. If you'll take what God has provided for all men to use, nobody possesses that ability to think that, except back in Revelation 13:17, no man might buy or sell. Nobody thinks like that except he that hath the mark, the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Nobody thinks that except those that have that image in their mind and in their hands. What do believers have? They got a new mind. What do they think? They think that salvation is of the Lord. That's what they think. Nobody possesses that thought except those left to themselves. That's what he's saying. No man has the ability. True believers thankfully possess a mind that knows that salvation is all of grace, all of the Lord. no works of righteousness whatsoever for salvation. Last part of that verse right there, I can read it to you like this. Pray that you, I hope I haven't butchered this. No man has the ability to think that he can buy or sell the gift of the Holy Spirit, that is, salvation, by his own ability and free will, except those that have the mark, the name, or the number of his character, Satan's character. Nobody thinks like that except those that God's left to themselves. Nobody thinks like that. What do the others think? They know salvation's of the Lord. That's what they think. In the last verse, here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Here is the revelation of the number of that beast. Scripture says it's number of a man. 666. The Scripture says that it's the number of a man. So you don't have to wonder whether or not 666 means a man. The Scripture says it means a man. What does it mean? Man, man, man. That's what it means. Where do we that believe look and behold our salvation? I'll tell you where we do. The Father who hath chosen us in Him. The Son who hath redeemed us by His blood. The Spirit that has called us by His grace. This beast here says that man is the source, man is the power, and man is the glory. Let him that understands count the number of this beast that we're warring against. Here's what we're warring against. Me, 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 and it's all about me. And it's all about my power, and it's all about my honor, and it's all about my will, and it's all about me. It's all about me. Paul says, there's the beast right there. I see in me, me, there dwells no good thing. Don't look outside for the beast. The beast is within. The war is within. The battle is being raged right here. What do I think? I don't mind being religious, don't get me wrong. This is the way the old man thinks. I don't mind being religious. But now let's not get this thing out of hand. I got stuff I got to take care of. I got things I got to do. And when I have time, I'm going to worship God. But I'll create the God that I'm going to worship. And I'll worship my God. And this is going to be the God that I worship. Me, me, me. And I'll tell you this. Says man by nature, I'm not doing too bad. But for the believer, he beholds him who has called him out of darkness and revealed that old man to be totally dead, incapable, dead in trespasses and sins. And he sees the remnant is still there, and he hates him. He hates him, strives against him. I loathe myself. I am but dust. Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. That's what the believer says. All right, Gary, you come.